Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. And now, the pastor of the Hagman Report and of many around the world, founder of thevoiceofevangelism.com, Pastor David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to take the opportunity this evening to welcome you to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's truly a joy for us to be here with you today and to share from the Word of God. God wants to touch your heart, touch your life, and bless you in a way that you have never known before. But the truth of the matter is, so many in America today, they've lost their way. They have lost their way because they have quit walking in the way, which is none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. There is no way, anyone can get to God, to the kingdom of God, except it be by Jesus, the Lord Christ, the Son of God. Any other way, Jesus said, a man is a thief or a robber. You have to come by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is my prayer today, this 24th day of July, Wednesday evening, that the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of God, is touching your heart, touching your life, touching your home and your family, and your marriage. Every one of us are in desperate need of the touch of God. Without God's touch, we will not make it. We must have the touch of God. As I come to share from my heart today, I am burdened for what I'm witnessing, for what I'm seeing transpire and take place in America. My heart is troubled. My heart is heavy. My heart and my spirit both are grieved because of the sins, the degradation, the debasedness of this nation. And say what you will, we are entering into a time, regretfully, will be calamitous. I say that with a very sad and broken heart and spirit. I do not say that with joy, because the tragedies, the calamities that are coming to America, I believe, you may disagree with me, but until God shows me different, America is Babylon. America is Babylon. The spirit of whoredom, the spirit of harlotry, the spirit of ecumenicalism is moving and has taken a very powerful stronghold in the United States of America. There is such profuse compromise in the Word of God today. Ministers have lost the zeal for the Lord. They've lost their passion relative to holiness and conviction and being stirred by the Holy Spirit of God to a more intimate walk with Christ. Everything is superficial. Everything is mundane. Everything, for the most part, when it comes to spiritual things, they are so shallow. There's no depth. There's no breadth. There is no challenge from the pulpit regarding a Christian's walk with God. This is not some cynical, ludicrous religion. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God. I want to speak to you tonight, this evening, whenever you're listening to this program, about the signs of the times. The signs of the times. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And of course, that truth is in none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Paul said they would ever learn, but they would never be able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now listen to his prophetic utterances in verses 8 and 9, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses." Who are those two men? Who's Jannes? Who's Jambres? These were the two magicians in Pharaoh's courts trying to emulate the miracles that Moses was doing. And of course, Moses threw his staff down and it became a serpent. Jannes and Jambres threw their staff down and it became serpents. But Moses' staff / serpent swallowed their staff serpents. So Paul is rehearsing this to the church. 2 Timothy 3:8, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." Now the word folly there in the Greek simply means a lack of understanding. "But they shall proceed no further, for their lack of understanding shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." They did not understand. They were contending with Elohim. They thought they were contending with a servant of God, a man of God, Moses, but they were actually contending with Jehovah. And they didn't understand that. And that's why no matter what they tried to perform through a false miracle, feigning actual heresy, a mendacity, chicanery, trickery, The truth consumed the lies. The truth consumed the deception. In the end, they said, "This is the hand of God." But Paul brings this up in his epistle to the young son in the faith, Timothy. Signs of the times. America, the world today, regretfully, is hemorrhaging. We're in what I believe is the time called the beginning of sorrows or birth pangs. P-A-N-G-S, birth pangs. Our nation is evolving into turmoil. Look at the squad on the Capitol Hill. Look at the prophecy as it comes to fruition. Now, God has prophesied there would be these factions, there would be these groups that would seek to lead. And many would come into a place, a position, a posture of leadership. But Isaiah chapter 3 verse 12 says, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Don't we understand that the purported leadership is doing what God said? Women rule over us. They cause us to err. You can't have socialism and have capitalism at the same time. Karl Marx said the step between capitalism and communism is socialism. We are there. We are there in spirit. It's not fully manifest in actuality, but we're there in spirit, and every day it comes to more and more fruition, because like Mr. Gavin Newsom, I call him Gavin Give 'em Some. He, governor of California, is going to give tens of thousands of illegal immigrants free health care at the expense of the people who pay the taxes. Yet the people who pay the taxes don't have health care. We were punished under the Obama health care. If we did not have insurance, we were penalized profusely. Is that not what the Bible said? They oppress us? Is that not a fact? Is that not oppression through legislation? I don't believe we understand the calamitous intersection we are quickly encroaching. We're getting there. And he says, oh, my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. What they're doing is destroying the paths, the foundations that was laid down by righteous people, godly people, people who came to America, sacrificed everything they had to have the freedom of religion and liberty and justice for all. What nonsense. When I think it was in the state of Minnesota, wherein they were declaring, pledging allegiance to the flag, which takes about 15 seconds, was racist and unjust. Yet, the very pledge says, liberty and justice for all. Not for some, not for a few, but for all. Twisting every word. I've never witnessed such an assault through semantics, verbiage, words, trying to misconstrue the embodiment of truth. They use words to destroy. And they are destroying this nation. Our nation is evolving into gross turmoil. I sense the agitation in my spirit. I sense the vexation. I sense the trouble. If you are a godly person, you sense what I'm talking about. You see, the devil is usurping. He's taking away peace from the earth. This is one of the modes and the means and the methods of Satan, is to usurp and to take peace from the earth. You may not realize it. That will happen when the rider on the red horse goes forth. That's what the Bible declares. The Bible is very clear. This is what's going to take place. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 4, Revelation 6 and 4, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, And there was given unto him a great sword. Now that spirit is fomenting right now, taking peace from the earth, and that men would kill one another, which I believe speaks of civil war in any nation. Take peace from the earth. That is a 180 degree contrast to what happened on the night of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The total opposite. Total opposite. Luke 2 and 10 says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Goodwill toward men. Peace and goodwill. Yet this rider on the red horse takes peace from the earth. Once again, demonstrating the fomenting of the spirit of Antichrist. Some of you are probably wondering why you are irritable, why you're profusely frustrated, why your anxiety level is ratcheting up, why you go to do something and it becomes skewed. It becomes obliterated, for a better lack of words. It breaks. It malfunctions. It dysfunctions. What's happening? Whether you realize it or understand it or not, sin is already taking its toll on you physically. Now, there's a passage of scripture I've dealt with for years that I can honestly admit I don't fully understand. There's a lot of Bible verses I don't fully understand. I'm being honest today. There are verses I don't comprehend. I can't get my head completely around them because of my limited knowledge and insight. But the Bible says in 2 Peter 2:6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot," just in the sense of righteousness, "and delivered righteous Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation," or the filthy lifestyle, "of the wicked." Well, what about that? Do you not understand? A righteous, godly man offering his two virgin daughters up to a mob of sodomites. I don't understand that. I don't understand how the Bible decrees and declares Lot to be a righteous man and delivered just Lot. J-U-S-T. Look it up in the Greek. 1342 in your strong exhaustive concordance. It means you're righteous. Righteous. My question is, how does a righteous man offer up two innocent, virtuous daughters to an angry, motley crew of sodomites? Anytime you see the word just, Simeon, in Luke 2, the Bible said he was a just man, a righteous man. Joseph was said to be a just man, the husband of Mary. One that does what is right, that which is just. It's the proper, right, the correct thing to do. I don't understand how that the scriptures decree Lot is a righteous and a just man, yet he offers up his two virgin daughters. Let me go on. 2 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8. and delivered just Lot, or righteous Lot, vexed. His spirit was vexed. Notice what it says. Lot's spirit was vexed. Some of you listening to me right now, you are vexed. Well, what does it mean to be vexed? It means through great vigor and arduous labor against you, you are wearing down due to the toil, due to the harassment, due to the oppression. You're being beaten down. That's what it means to be vexed. Vexed. So Lot was what? Beaten down. Laboriously harassed with the filthy conversation. Now, you've always heard me teach the word conversation always means your lifestyle, how you live. Your lifestyle. So what was dragging, harassing, encroaching, laboring intensively against Lot? The filthy lifestyle of the wicked. The filthy lifestyle of the wicked. What does the word filthy there in the Greek mean? One who acknowledges absolutely no restraints. They do whatever their caprice and unmanageable frowardness dictates. They are excess in lust, riotous living, and in their lifestyle. Ezekiel 16:49 says, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness." You know, I often ask myself, and these gay parades and these gatherings for days on the streets, I have to work. I have to work. I have to study. I have to prepare messages for the programs. I fast. I pray. I meditate. I ruminate in the Word of God. I bathe my mind in the Scriptures. I don't have time to go out to Seattle for 2 or 3 days, 4 days, and walk up and down streets and picket and raise hell. I don't have time for that. Abundance of idleness. Abundance of idleness. Lot was vexed with the wicked, filthy lifestyle of the wicked. And then in verse 8, 2 Peter 2:8 says, "For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." You, my friend, I, all of us, are being vexed today in a very terrible, terrible, terrible way. And you know why we're being vexed? Now, most preachers aren't going to see this. They're not going to preach what I'm preaching. They're not going to say what I'm saying because what I'm saying is not popular. But I'm telling you what the Bible has already pre-foretold. "For that righteous," remember, "and delivered just," or righteous Lot, verse 8, "for that righteous man," or just man, "dwelling among them." You're in the world. You're not of the world. You're in a sinful, degraded, debased, fallen world. He said, in seeing and hearing. You see everything on the news. You hear the filth. You see the filth. You see the degradation. You see the debasedness. You witness the debauchery. It's there. And all of this vexed his righteous soul from day to day. Let me paraphrase, from day to day, every day. Every day his righteous soul was vexed with their unlawful deeds. Lawlessness, not having, neither knowing or acknowledging the law. Lawlessness in the sense that they transgress, they break the law every day. That's why they're called wicked. They're unholy. The Greek word is anomos. It is the strongest term denoting presumptuous and wicked self-assertion. You reckon Cortez, Tlaib, Omar, you suppose these women are self-asserting? Why is this happening? They are manifesting the degree of sin because they have utter and total opposition and contempt for God, His Word, His will, and His plans. This is a sad day, but it is a day of reality. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9, fools make a mock at sin. That word mock in the Hebrew means to scoff, to literal make a scorn gesture or demeanor with the mouth. Even George Bush said, read my lips. An expression with the mouth. You ever been doing something, working with someone, and you couldn't get the screw to go into the hole, or you couldn't get the nut on the bolt? Somebody said, you're not holding your mouth right. That's a term for an expression by your mouth. Let me point something out tonight. These first term Congress women, Alexandria Cortez, goes down to the border, and she feigns tears. She purports and demonstrates an outward manifestation of so-called grief at her description of the so-called concentration detention camps / Auschwitz-Dachau, two of the major labor camps in World War II under the auspices control of Hitler and Himmler. But let me say something here. Those concentration camps, people were gassed, tortured, systematically starved to death, ultimately cremated, burned in the ovens. I watched a Jewish movie some years ago. It was on television. I don't go to movies. And it had a scene in there where this man had been recruited, Jewish man had been recruited to help burn the bodies. They would put the bodies on a table like a gurney, and then they had a board with a handle on the end of it, and you would push the bodies with this board with a handle on the end of it, and the handle would be the length of a broom handle, handle on a shovel, and they were pushing the bodies into the crematory and, of course, burning them. And in this one scene, this gentleman was well into his 70s. When they throwed the body up there, it was his wife. Of course, she was dead. And he pushed her body into the horrific flames. Now, this idiot that claims to be a sensible congresswoman describes these amenities at the border as concentration camps. Well, let me define tonight the real hypocrisy. So she's down there, had the photo opt. She's got her face in her hands. She's feigning tears and sorrow and grief, brokenness for these little children, where these little children are being fed. They're being housed. They're being clothed. They are in air-conditioned rooms. Without a doubt, there is profuse overcrowding. No one is gassing them. No one is killing them. No one is torturing them. No one is beating them. They are not systematically under a program of starvation. That's why when you watch all of these old movies or you see these old video clips of these concentration camps, you notice how you count the ribs on everybody? Hitler and Himmler were feeding the people just enough food to sustain them. But yet they lost weight every day. Why? That's torture. He wanted them emaciated. He wanted them to get just enough so their body would continue to try to live and function, but yet at the same time, their body's dying. This is what this buffoon Cortez says is happening down there. But if Miss Cortez really had true, pure, unadulterated compassion on children, why doesn't she stand out in front of the abortion clinics in the same display of grief and sorrow and mourning and weeping and brokenness? Oh, that's different now. Oh, wait a minute. That is a child. That is even a more innocent child. That is even a more lesser child in the sense it cannot take care of itself in any capacity. Totally dependent upon a human being to make sure it can survive. The hypocrisy is a stench in the nostrils of God. It is a stench in my nostrils to witness the verbiage, the words, the display of purported sorrow and grief and vexation. Yet they're all about murdering babies. The only difference between a 9-month-old baby and a 3-year-old baby is fundamentally the size. They're both babies. They're both little. These devils out of hell are going to pay a price, an untold price in the day of judgment. You say, Pastor, that's terribly harsh and critical and demeaning. Every child is precious in the sight of God. Even we as adults, the soul of man is significant to God. Because Jesus died for every living human being, past, present, and future. He paid the sin's debt once and for all to satisfy God's demand for sin. Where is the
grief for the abortion clinics. These little, they're just smaller. That's all. That's the only difference. They're just smaller. It's like a large car and a small car. They're both cars. Big truck, small truck. They're both trucks. They haul stuff. The big cab over engine, COE. The big conventional. It's a truck. But the four-wheel F-150 is a truck. The point is, they're synonymous. They're trucks. Just like these children are children, even in their mother's womb. You know, when God plays the video in eternity of Alexandria Cortez feigning tears and sorrow and brokenness down at the border, he's going to show her the murdered babies that she helped contribute and foster. What are you going to say on the day of judgment? That's different. I didn't mean that. Oh, everyone will be sorry in that day. Everyone will be sorry in that day. But your sorrow will have been demonstrated way too late. Godly sorrow must be manifest, must be demonstrated, must be made evident now. Not in eternity, but now. But yet men, they won't do that. First of all, they're too proud. They're too proud. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." We persuade men. The truth is, there's supposed to be godly sorrow in our lives. Godly sorrow is a sorrow that says, I need to make this right. I need to repent. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10 says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of." Well, what does that mean? That means you don't have to repent when you have truly godly sorrow of repenting. In other words, you don't have to be sorry for repenting. "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." The sorrow of the world. I want to share something tonight. It is a newsletter that I wrote and I penned April 2010. Over 9 years ago, I wrote this newsletter. I want to read this newsletter tonight before I leave the air, because I just sense an urgency. The newsletter is entitled "Earthquake Warning." Earthquake Warning, written by Pastor David Lankford, April of 2010. Reading from Ezekiel chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. "And your altars shall be desolate, your images shall be broken. I will cast down your slain men before your idols. I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols. I will scatter your bones round about your altars, And all your dwelling places, the cities, shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and cease, and your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. I want to jump over to Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 27. The king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled. And I will do unto them after their way, and according to their deserts will judge them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And one more verse, Mark 13, verse 8. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. Let me begin the newsletter. As I sit here in my office this Wednesday, February the 10th, 2010, and write this newsletter, I am well aware that for the most part, the devastating earthquake that recently struck Haiti is all but a memory. Nevertheless, as of this date, nearly 250,000 people have lost their lives in that massive earthquake. I want to send out a warning today that there is an earthquake coming to America that will be 1,000 times more powerful than the earthquake that struck Haiti. Yes, you read me correctly. 1,000 times more powerful and 1,000 times more damaging. You will see it. You will witness it. It will run for miles across this nation, taking cities, infrastructure, home, businesses, manufacturing plants, power plants, hospitals, government buildings, food distribution centers, and along with it, an untold number of lives will be lost. Please don't confuse the Richter scale, which is used in the measurement of earthquakes, with the destruction that I speak of. Due to the enormity of the longitude and latitude of this earthquake will be the reason for such destruction that I see coming to America. This nation has renounced God. Thus, the Lord God of Abraham will deal a blow to this nation of untold proportion and destruction. In our scripture text here in Ezekiel chapter 4, the Lord said he would cast down the slain men before their idols. The very things that this nation has idolized, God says that the slain will be cast down in front of them. If this nation wants to idolize Wall Street and the corrupt banking system, then you will see thousands of dead bodies lie before those institutions. In verse 5, the Lord says that the dead carcasses of the children will lie before their idols. Just as we saw the dead bodies in Haiti, stacked up like cordwood in the streets, you will see the same in America. I watched in horror as the dead bodies were loaded into the dump trucks, hauled off to the landfills, and dumped out like garbage. Then they would just push dirt over these bodies and bury them in a very inhumane and savage manner. There were no family members present to mourn the deceased, no minister there to pray over those bodies. That same horror is about to fill the land of America in the near future. In verses 6 and 7 here in Ezekiel chapter 6, the Lord says that the dwelling places of the city shall be laid waste, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. One way or another, America will know the Lord. We will either know him in grace and mercy or in judgment and wrath. In Ezekiel 7 and 27, the Lord says that the king shall mourn. We now have a very arrogant president in the White House. Now remember, I wrote this over 9 years ago. When this devastation pervades America, weeping and mourning will fill the White House. And then hatred will turn toward the government due to the government's inability to help in trying to mitigate the sufferings and destruction. In this same scripture verse, the Bible says that the hands of the people will be troubled. The word troubled here in the Hebrew means to be terrified, frightened, perplexed, to scare away and to become alarmed at the very power of God. Not only will men be troubled, but they will have no jobs. Their hands will be troubled due to the lack of employment. We will see these things come to fruition in America. Jesus again said in Mark 13, verse 8, "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in divers places, famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. The famine that I see coming, which will follow this earthquake, does not come due to weather conditions, but it will be caused by the disruption of food supplies. Not only will there be a famine, but there will also be an immediate drought or loss of water. Again, the drought is not caused by a weather condition or weather anomaly. It will be created by this earthquake." Jesus said there would be troubles. The word troubles in the Greek means a disturbance, like the rolling of water, an angry mob, a sedition. Following the powerful and devastation of this earthquake, you will not be able to grasp the gravity of the civil unrest that will permeate this nation. September the 5th, 2009, in prayer on a Saturday night, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "The storm that we have heard about as well as preached about was imminent, and there was going to be much loss in every way. However, those that are in Christ Jesus have nothing to fear, for He alone is our refuge." About 2 years ago, I had a night vision. In this night, I saw myself walking among hundreds, if not thousands, of dead bodies. In the vision, as I was walking among the deceased, I said to myself, "What in the world caused all of these people to die? Was it nuclear, chemical, or biological?" Then just the other day, it dawned on me. Now, I wrote this now nearly 10 years ago. Then the other day, it dawned on me. If it were nuclear, chemical, or biological, how was I able to stand among the deceased and not be harmed myself? Then it hit me. If it was an earthquake, I would have no problem standing in the midst of the innumerable deceased. After I asked myself the question in the vision, how did all these people die? Then I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, "Now this will be followed by rioting, pillaging, and looting." Needless to say, following an earthquake of this magnitude, this will be the chronological order of events that will take place. As I said earlier, America will either know God by His grace and mercy or by His wrath and judgment. My heart has become so heavy lately that I can't seem to find a comfortable posture spiritually of being removed from the burden of what I see coming. Jesus has told us that the pure in heart would see Him when He returns. Never before has there been a greater need for each of us to turn from our wicked ways and seek the Lord. You see, if the way that you are traveling is not the way of the Lord, then it is a wicked way. Oh, I know there are those who are trying to serve God with a Burger King mentality, and they think that they can have it their way. However, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." The way of death. is about to fill America because America is too proud to repent and to say that we are sorry for our sins. Let me encourage each of you to seek the Lord, and you will find everything that you need for your life. Christ Jesus is the source of life, and when men seek him with all of their heart, they will have all of their needs met according to his riches and glory through his Son, Christ Jesus. I know that this has been a very strong word today. Nevertheless, it is the truth. It is the word of God. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." The Lord is simply trying to prepare his people for days of massive upheaval. No matter if we are the redeemed of the Lord, it will rain upon the just and the unjust. I want to encourage everyone listening tonight to trust God. David said in Psalms chapter 7, verse 1, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." Psalms 56, verse 3, David said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Psalms 118, verse 8, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men." It's better. Better to trust the Lord. No man is your refuge. No government is your refuge. No institution, no organization, no denomination is your refuge. Jesus, the Lord Christ, the Son of the living God, the Son of the living God, he alone is your refuge. I may see about posting this newsletter that we wrote. We wrote it in February of 2010. We published it, sent it out in April of 2010. I may put this on the website just as an update if you'd like to get it and read it. The last several days, in my prayer, my laboring before the presence of God, I sense an uncertainty. It's like walking what you think is solid ground, but there's quicksand. You know the quicksand is just another step, another two steps, maybe another half a dozen steps, but you know the quicksand is there. You're waiting for the calamity. You're waiting for the tragedy. You're waiting for an event. You're waiting for something, not really knowing what it is. That's how I feel in my spirit. And I believe it was yesterday, the Spirit of God reminded me of this newsletter that we wrote, which is nearly a decade old, nearly a decade old, to be 10 years old in February, 10 years old. You say, well, it's not coming to pass. I look at it in the context, God, thank you for such an early warning. You see, your little goody two-shoe preachers today, your limp-wristed preachers, will not give any prophetic utterances or warnings because that's not popular. They call people like myself and Steve Quayle and Doug Hagman purveyors of fear. I give you the word of God. If the truth, the word of God, brings fear, you need to look to God and repent. You need to look to God and repent. Because God is our way and our refuge and our covering. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads and our hearts tonight before your throne, I do pray for mercy and grace. Father, you've been so gracious, so loving, so kind, so long-suffering with us. Instead of getting better, we become more rebellious. We become more heady. We become more high-minded. We spurn, we reject your calls and your pleas and your petitions and dealing with us relative to our sin and our sinful state and place in which we abide. Father, I pray for everyone listening to this program that the Holy Spirit of God would stir their souls and their spirit. I know we're but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Just as Israel provoked you in the wilderness and grieved you in the desert, we do the same things today. Father, I ask that conviction, old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction to permeate, brood over everyone listening, Father. Help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us that our hearts will not become gross and waxed in indifference and tepidness and lukewarmness, Lord. Help us to pull the blinders off, to see the truth, to see the charlatan spirit, the duplicitous spirit that seeks to destroy us, because deception in the end destroys. Truth makes the way plain. Father, I ask that you'll add your blessings and anointing to the program tonight, and that the program will bring forth fruit, wherein people will repent. They will acknowledge their sins. They will look to you. They will turn to you. They will humble themselves under your mighty hand and willfully repent of sin. Father, I ask today in closing that you would remember the Hagmans. I pray the God of all grace and the God of all comfort would touch and minister. Lord, many times we forget those who are laboring in our midst, the toil, the pain, the suffering that they must endure. But help us to be mindful of each other and bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Help us to not be self-centered, neither self-serving. Help us to be servants and serve you. And if we serve you properly, if we serve you correctly, then we'll serve our neighbor. Bless the Hagmans, the Hagman Report. Bless and God give grace and God give temperance and the ability to endure and endure unto the end. We ask all of these things this day in the name of your only begotten Son, Jesus the Lord Christ. And everyone said, amen and amen. I pray that the program today has touched your heart, touched your life in some capacity. Again, I'll see about getting this newsletter posted. That way, if you want a copy, you can pull it down at your own free time and pleasure. God bless you. Continue to pray for the Hagmans. God willing, we'll see you next week. And the Lord Jesus Christ, may he keep you all in the end.
The Voice of Evangelism is a word-based ministry that is totally supported by free will offerings and gifts. If you would like to tithe or make an offering to this ministry, please visit thevoiceofevangelism.com and click Donate today. The Voice of Evangelism is a ministry of faith. We're believing God each month to lay on the hearts of those listeners to support us if they are being blessed. Again, if you would like to tithe or donate an offering to this ministry, please visit thevoiceofevangelism.com and click donate today. Thank you, and may God bless you.